Father, I pause in these moments and I ask that you would open our eyes to see the wonderful things that are in your law. Wonderful things. Wonderful things about your grace. Wonderful things about your truth. Help us to see them and receive them today and live them out. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in January, we started our journey through the book of Exodus, and we had a pretty good pace going there. We actually made it to the halfway point, chapter 20, because Exodus is 40 chapters in length, and we made it to the halfway point in July. And then, you know, we hit the Ten Commandments, and we had been doing about a chapter a week, and then we slowed down. I was actually having lunch with a friend recently, and he said, yeah, I noticed that. We've been going along a chapter a week, and now we're doing like just a couple of verses each week. What's happening? I said, well, these Ten Commandments are pretty important, and I don't want to skip over them or rush over them, so we're going to slow down and hit these, and then we'll hit the accelerator again after we get through these, and probably even go faster than we did the last 20 chapters than we did the first 20. So these principles, these Ten Commandments that we've been looking at, we've covered the first three thus far, and those being, the first one being that God says to his people they're to have no other gods. He then told them you're to make no images of God to assist in your worship. And then the third one was you're not to misuse the name of God. And so we've covered those, and now it's time for the fourth one. So if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open to Exodus chapter 20, if you're not there already. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11 today. It's the fourth commandment in the 10, and it is four verses in length, and so we'll look at those today. And that fourth commandment is this. It's really summarized with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's how we would summarize it. Of course, verses 9 through 11 give us more information about how to live this out and what this looks like. But Moses instructs us, or God instructs us through Moses, remember the Sabbath day. Sort of reminds me of what Jesus said to his disciples, you know, in the upper room the night he was betrayed. Do this cup, this bread and this cup, do this in remembrance of me. And so this idea of remembering, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is this word Shabbat, and it means to rest or cease from work, to stop what you're doing, to rest from that work. So to remember this day of rest and keep it holy. That's the summary of it, and of course there's more details in verses 9 through 11. So I'm going to read this and just warn you here, I'm going to give you a little quiz after we read through this, so pay close attention here, okay? Pay close attention, follow along carefully. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, ready for the quiz? Here's your quiz. Who is the Sabbath for? Well, it's for the Lord, but who is it? Who's supposed to keep the Sabbath? Yes, mankind, and who specifically? And you can look in your Bible, it's okay. You can look back. Who specifically is it for? Well, not for everybody, no. So it's for Israel. It's not for Egypt. It's not for the Amalekites. It's not for the Canaanites. It's for Israel. It's for the people. If you look back in verse 2, God starts off all these commandments by saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And therefore, all of the yous in this, he's talking to God's people, Israel. And even more specifically, I suppose you could say, the Sabbath is for men and women. It's for the kids in the family. It's for the servants in the family. It's for the animals and also for the foreigners that live among them. So yes, it is for everyone, but not for everyone. It's for Israel. And so, question number two, the what? What is it that we're talking about here? Well, of course, it's a stop day, a day of rest, a day to no work, no labor, to stop creating, to put your to-do lists aside and rest from doing stuff. Interestingly, there's really nowhere where I can find where there's a direct command to worship on the Sabbath. It is really about a day of rest, not necessarily worship. Well, third question in the quiz, when is the Sabbath to be observed? On the seventh day. It's on the seventh day, which in our calendar is Saturday. And there's a whole other study you could do that goes back to help us understand that, is our Saturday the same Saturday that Moses and the Israelites would have had? And yes, it is. But the Sabbath is always on Saturday. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Now, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, after the resurrection, they began the first day of the week, they began calling that the Lord's Day. And it was in celebration of the resurrection. So Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Saturday is always the Sabbath. It didn't change. Where is the Sabbath to be observed? Well, the commandment didn't really tell us, but as you read through the rest of the scriptures, you'll find that they observed the Sabbath wherever they found themselves. So it would be another 40 years, little spoiler alert here, another 40 years before they would actually reach the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So during that 40 years of wandering, they celebrated the Sabbath on the seventh day. Work, 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 work. Well, 6 days of work, how many ever that was. And then the seventh day was rest day. And then after they entered the land, they would again continue to celebrate on the seventh day, the Sabbath. The why question is kind of interesting. Does anybody have an answer to that one? Why would they celebrate this Sabbath? Why did God give them this command? Well, it's there in verse 11, if you look at it. It's in some ways to follow the example that God has set for us himself. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's part of the why. Because God set us the example, because he rested. If you fast forward 11 chapters in Exodus to chapter 31, you're going to find an even, well, maybe more important why to us. Let me read it for you. It's Exodus 31, 14 through 17. See if you can catch it. God says, observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. I'll just stop right there. That may be a good reason why. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. In case you didn't catch it the first time, he repeats himself. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So two more reasons why. Number one, you receive the death penalty if you break this command. And secondly, it's important because it's a sign to the world and to themselves, a sign, a reason to remember the covenant, the promise that God has made to his people. It's a reminder of God's agreement. And ultimately, this day of Sabbath rest, it points to something greater, a greater rest that God offers to people. And if they reject that rest, it too will result in death. That's the why. The how. Well, there in verse 10, it tells you, verse 10 of chapter 20, how the Sabbath is to be lived out in some regard. It's on it you shall do no work. You shall not do any work, he says. No work on the Sabbath. That's not very descriptive. And so as you read through the rest of the scriptures, sometimes God gives a little bit more clarification as to what he intends about this. And so I've got some of those here for you. Many of these come in the book of Exodus, but how is this to be lived out? Well, they were not to gather food on the Sabbath. And that actually comes from four chapters earlier when we talked about the manna and the quail. When the manna and the quail would fall, they would have to gather a double portion on Friday because on Saturday, they weren't to gather any. It was to be a day of rest. It was to be a Sabbath. And so that's one thing. They weren't to gather any food. In that story also, it told us that they weren't to leave their home or their community. They were to stay put on that day. It was a rest day. Later on in Exodus, it reminds us or tells us that they were to do no plowing or harvesting. They were to be doing no building of the tabernacle that God had instructed them to do. They were to light no fires. They were to gather no wood. They were to not market their goods. They were to not carry any kind of a load on the Sabbath. And so the entire nation of Israel, they lived this way for 1,500 years. Imagine an entire people group that spent Sunday through Friday working and everybody was off on Saturday. Everybody. Over time, the religious leaders added some additional definition to what this was to look like. It was almost as if they knew that there was a line here that God had put in place. If you cross this line, we're going to kill you, right? The death penalty if you break the Sabbath. And so it's almost like there was a line, God's line was here, and the religious leaders drew a line back here and said, hey, we want to keep you away from that line up there because there's no turning back if you cross that line. We're going to draw this line here. And here's some of the things that we think this line includes to keep you away from that really severe line up there. It became known as the 39 categories of prohibited Sabbath work. Some of these are biblical. Many of them are not. Many of them are just man's attempt, the religious leaders' attempts to protect the people from God's wrath. And so they made it very clear. You're not to sow, plow, reap, bind sheaves, thresh, winnow, sort, grind, sift, bake, knead, spin, weave, shear, wash, beat, or dye wool. You're not to make two loops. Apparently you can make one, but not two. You're not to weave two threads. You're not to separate two threads. You're not to tie or untie. You're not to sew stitches. You're not to tear or trap or slaughter or flay. You're not to tan, scrape, mark, or cut hides. You're not allowed to write two letters or more. Now, I don't think that means like letters to a friend. I mean, think that means actual letters. You're not to do any writing. That's considered work in the the mind of the religious leaders, of the Pharisees. You're not to erase two or more letters. You're not to build or demolish. You're not to kindle or extinguish a fire. You're not allowed to put the finishing touches on an object. That'll need to wait till next week. And you're not allowed to transport an object between a private and a public domain or for a distance of 4 cubits within the public domain, whatever that means. So this was quite a list. It became quite a burden. And you might recognize some of these things from the time of Jesus. I think their intent was good, but ultimately it ended up being a burden. Sabbath was a burden to them. And it was almost as if God's line, yeah, it's over there, but it's almost like the religious leaders said, the line that we've made, it's just as important as God's line. And so they held up their man-made standards and judged people by them. As a matter of fact, Jewish people today, they still obey these 39 categories on the Sabbath. I was looking up some of this, and one that just, I just thought, this is funny to me. So in the middle there, you're not allowed to tear on the Sabbath, okay? That includes toilet paper. So, for example, you're not allowed to tear toilet. If you're a Jewish person today, I've seen articles about this online. They talk about this. They're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to tear your toilet paper, prepare your toilet paper on Friday, because you don't dare tear it on Saturday. Kind of like you're walking around on eggshells all the time, right? I mean, imagine the burden of all of these things. And each of these has its own interpretations of what these mean and how they play out in your life day to day. Well, they lived these out for 1,500 years. Again, adding more over time. And by the time we came to Jesus, the Sabbath rules are a big deal. You may remember in the stories of Jesus that many times the religious leaders didn't like what he did, especially on the Sabbath. One story in Mark chapter 2, it says one Sabbath, day of rest, right? Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some of the heads of grain. The Pharisees, which were the religious leaders, said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" What was it that they were doing that was unlawful? Well, it must have been that they were harvesting, right? They were harvesting. They were just going along and picking some of the heads of grain. And in the mind of the Pharisees, that was wrong. That was wrong. They were breaking the Sabbath. And what's interesting, God is the one who obviously made the rules for the Sabbath, and Jesus was God, so Jesus knew what the rules were for the Sabbath day. He has a little exchange there with the Pharisees, and then he says something very interesting to them. Jesus summarizes the confrontation with them. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I'm going to ask you to just let that soak in for a moment. What does that mean? The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. The Sabbath is a gift of rest that God has given to mankind. Specifically to Israel, right? To his people. The Pharisees had added so many rules to it that it almost, instead of feeling like a gift, it felt like a straitjacket. Imagine giving someone a straitjacket for a gift. I got it just in your size. I hope it fits. You know, I hope you enjoy it. Sometimes, I mean, that list of 39, that probably felt like a straitjacket, right? On Sunday, I don't want to deal with Saturdays. I don't want to deal with Saturdays because I got to follow all these extra rules. That was never God's intent. God's intent was that this was a gift. It was made for you that you might find rest because you're created to work, 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 work. You need a day of rest. And God gives you permission for that. Gives you permission to take a day off. And of the 40-ish kind of miracles that Jesus did, 7 of them were on the Sabbath day. And it got him in trouble with the religious leaders several times. They didn't like that he healed somebody on the Sabbath, because that healing, that was a work. And that was not okay in their minds. Totally missing the point of the gift that God had given them to find rest on that day. Jews had to observe it. And it's good for them. God set the example. He rested from his work, not because he was tired. He just stopped his creating on the seventh day. And so it's an invitation to stop and remember the Creator, his creation, what he's done for us, to actually breathe. This is what Jesus gave us. So I'd like to ask you this question. So is it a sin for us as Christians, as followers of Christ? We're not Jewish people. We're not Israel. Is it a sin for Christians to not observe the Sabbath? And there's some people who would say no, and there's some people who would say yes, and it's a highly contentious argument. I mean, there's a debate that swirls around that, around this. I think the answer is pretty clear, though. I think the answer is clear that no, it's not a sin for us to work on Saturday. That's right. That's right. And let me give you the couple of reasons why. Well, first of all, because we're under the new covenant, right? The new covenant is a covenant of grace, not law and works. And so we're under grace, not law. 9 of the 10 commandments there in Exodus 20 are repeated or restated somehow in the New Testament. And so therefore the idea that we're not supposed to kill one another, yes, that's repeated in the New Testament. That's we're still not supposed to kill one another. That is a sin if I kill somebody. It is a sin if I worship God using an idol. That's still a sin. It's still a sin if I disobey my parents or dishonor my parents or if I commit adultery. Those are still sins. There's one command out of the 10 that is not repeated in the New Testament. It's not reiterated or reemphasized. It's the Sabbath. Nowhere will you find that Christians are to observe the Sabbath. It's interesting. Paul talks about this a little bit. He talks about it in Romans chapter 14, and he says this. He says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And so if you would like to observe the Sabbath on Saturday and no work, and if you do, you deserve the death penalty, that's fine. Be fully convinced in your own mind that you want to do that in order to honor God. But if you don't observe the Sabbath, that's okay too. Paul says that each one should be fully convinced in their own mind. It's okay. He goes on to say in Colossians, this is the one that really nails it for me. Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in someone else. The reality of all of these things, these festivals and these holy days, and in your eating and your drinking, the reality is found in this someone else who the whole Bible points at. His name is Jesus. The Sabbath is about Jesus. Christ is the ultimate rest from work. So he invites us to stop working for our own glory and to rest, to have a Sabbath rest in him for his glory. The Ten Commandments make us aware of our sin and our need for a Savior. The Sabbath does the same thing. It makes us aware of our need that we can't work forever. And even if we try, it never gets us anywhere. We need a Savior. His name is Jesus. And so while it's not a sin, remember the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus said so. It is a gift that God has given you permission to take off one day a week. It's a gift that you can receive to stop working for a 24-hour period. Me personally, I try from Sunday at 1 o'clock till Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so in a couple hours. And then till Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's my window. I've got it on my calendar, Sabbath. It's not Saturday, but that's the time where I take my 24-hour period. And I try to put my to-do lists aside. It's a little hard, though, when my wife gives me more to-do lists, right? So, but in our society where life goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, it is difficult to stop. Imagine living back in a society where everything stopped on Saturday. I mean, that would have been such a blessing. It's not that way anymore. And so I try to observe a Sabbath, but I'm not feeling guilty or condemnation if I'm not able to, because I'm not judged by God whether or not I keep the Sabbath. It certainly isn't healthy for someone to work 7 days a week, week after week after week. I mean, if God took a day off, we should too. Sabbath is a gift that ultimately points at Christ. And it causes us to ask this question then. In whose work are you trusting? In whose work are you trusting? Really, I think there's three options here for the answer. You're either trusting in your own work, you're trusting in someone else's work on your behalf, or you're trusting in Christ's work on your behalf. Will my good work, will it bring me the rest that I'm pursuing? For most, we believe and we hope, before we know Jesus, we hope that our good work will be enough to get us into heaven. You can ask many people on the street, are you a good person? And they're going to say, yeah, I think I am. I think my good works outweigh my bad works. And they think that that goodness in their mind makes them acceptable to God, but the Bible makes it clear that that's completely wrong. It's completely a lie from the enemy. That we can't work to achieve our own salvation. We'll never find the Sabbath rest that we're looking for in an eternal perspective in and of ourselves. And this is bad news. But the good news of the gospel is the next question. Will Christ's good work bring me rest? And the answer to that is yes. Not because I say so, but because God says so. Christ's work on the cross paid for your sin, and then God offers you his rest in the finished work of Christ. Christ did the work so that you can rest in him. So, the message of the church is to the world, stop trying to work for your own salvation. Instead, rest in the gift that God has offered to you. That gift is eternal life. It's forgiveness. Jesus is the true Sabbath. He's the true Sabbath rest that the fourth command of Exodus points us to. Now remember, in Exodus, if you break the Sabbath, you receive the death penalty. And it's still true. If you reject God's gift of rest found in Jesus alone, you will receive eternal death. But if you receive his gift and remember Jesus as your Sabbath, you'll find the rest that your soul is looking for. I think it's really interesting what Jesus said. An invitation of such. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, Jesus says. And so this is an invitation to salvation, to stop working on your own and accept the work that Christ has done for you. Come to Jesus. And for us as believers, many of us in this room today, believers in Christ, it's a reminder that He's with us. Because I don't know about you, but a yoke is not for one oxen, but for two. And so I'm one of the oxen. Who's pulling the load with me? Christ is. He's my sanctifier. He's the one who's making me holy. He's right there with me in the process. And before I like to give any glory to myself about how strong I am, He's the one who's given me the strength to pull the load in the first place. He is with you, sanctifying you, making you holy so that you look like Jesus for His glory. Come to Him to find rest. Well, that's the fourth command. Much more that could be said about this topic of the Sabbath. And so if you have other questions about it, I'll do my best to answer as best I can. But ultimately, we find our answer in Christ. He's the reality. Amen. So to God be the glory. Great and awesome things He has done.